This is a production of the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit elmad.pardes.org.
They're a little bit complex because I didn't print them, but for some reason, as I look at them, the Hebrew is sort of started from the wrong side. It's a little bit complex, but you look like an intelligent crowd. I think we'll work it out, okay? So, stay there. It's not the greatest microphone either. Okay. Are we good? Okay. So, Tzaharayim Tovim, afternoon, lots of friendly faces in the crowd, people that I know for many years. As usual, we meet on Tisha B'Av. I never get to say to you hello. There's people that I see once a year and never say to them hello ever. But Bezrat Hashem next year. Actually, on this year, on Tisha B'Av itself, had you come to us, we could have said hello, we could have hugged and kissed, we could have eaten wine, and we could have eaten meat and drank wine. And that's the plan for next year's Tisha B'Av as well, is that we should also hug and kiss and eat meat and drink wine. Just going to look this year, in the next hour and a quarter or so, at the spies. We've been looking for the past couple of years at the spies. And I think that in the next 4 or 5 years, we're gonna have it down to pat. We can understand what's going on there. Says the Pasuk. I'm sorry. Okay, this is where it gets complicated because I said the Hebrew's on the wrong side. V'edaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Shlach lacha anashim v'yaturu et eretz kena'an asher ani noten lach livnei Yisrael ish echad ish echad. God said to Moses, saying, send for you men to scout the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Send one man from each of the ancestral tribes, each one a chieftain, ish echad. What's difficult about the verse when we first open up? The first verse that we learn, shlach lecha, what's difficult? What's the word that seems to be superfluous and needs explaining in that verse? Lecha. Why does it say shlach lecha? Shlach. Send. Why send for you? And we'll see in a moment that all the mefarshim ask about that. But another question is, what is the ish echad? What is this one man, these chieftains? What is important about them? That they are the ones that are sent, and they are the ones that have importance, and they are the ones that sin. And they're the ones for which Tisha B'Av initially became a problematic day and has continued to be so throughout our history. What is wrong with them? Veishlach Moshe mimidbar Paran al pi Hashem kulam anashim roshei b'nei Yisrael lemate avotav tishlachu kol nasi behem. So we read like this. Lamateh avotah tishlach kol nasi behem. Vayishlach Moshe Moshe midbar piran al pi Hashem kulam anashim roshei b'nei Yisrael. Hey ma. That's how it gets a little complex. So Moses sent them into the wilderness of Paran. They were men, the leaders of Israel. People who you think you could trust. People who we think we could rely on to come back with a good report. And the pele, the amazing thing, the tragedy, is that they did not. Let's look at Rashi. Take out 3 minutes and look at Rashi together in your Chavruta. What does Rashi come to answer? The two Rashis. What does Rashi come to answer and what's his answer? So take out 2 minutes and look at it. Okay. So what does Rashi come to answer in the first Rashi? What's Rashi's problem, the first Rashi? No one? The first Rashi. There's two. No, not Ramban. If you read that, you went too far. No. The first Rashi here at the beginning. Rashi, say Rashi, Rashi. Says Rashi. What does Rashi come to answer? What's his question? What? La. Rashi. You're in Ramban. Rashi. That's again, you're into the Ramban, Ladati. I think you went further. That's further, yeah, that's Ramban. Rashi, yeah?
Yafeh. What's Rashi's? Rashi asks a simple question. What is the word? Lecha. What's his answer? I don't need it. The land's good. Let's read Rashi. Shlach lecha. Ledatcha. Ani eini mitzave lecha. I'm not commanding it. If you imtil tzeh shlach. Why? Says Rashi, a little bit of a historical background. Lefi shebao an Yisrael v'amu. Nishlacha anashim lefaneinu. Because the Jewish people came and pressured Moshe. That's how it reads in Devarim that we read this week. We read yesterday. On Tisha B'Av itzmo. We'll speak about it maybe next year. We spoke about it 2 years ago as well. The Nishlacha anashim lefaneinu. Kemo she'ne'emar v'tikavun laikuchem. You all gathered towards me. V'moshe nimlach b'shchina. Moshe asked the Shchina. Amar. Ani amarti lehem she'i tova. I tell you it's good. As it says, Ale etchem mi ani mitzrayim v'chayehem she'ani noten lehem makom litot b'divrei maraglim leman lo Yeshua. I took you out of the poverty of Egypt on your lives. I give the opportunity to make a mistake in the matter of the spice and you will not inherit it. Says Rashi, lecha means for you, not for me. I don't need it. You want it? I don't need it. However, if you sin, know that it's going to be a mistake. It's going to be a big mistake. It's going to be a terrible mistake. You shouldn't do it. So lecha means for you, not for me. And if you do it, it'll be problematic. Kulam anashim, says Rashi, kol anashim shebemikra, lashon chashivut, v'ota sha'a ksherim hayu. Rashi asks another question here. What's the question here? That's a sheila mitzuyenet. We're the front page, first source, after the pasuk Rashi. That's Ramban. We're going to get to the Ramban. Anashim means important. What's his problem now if that's the case? Right, Kulam Anashim. What's his problem? That if the spies are important, what's the problem? They're going to make it up. They're going to mess up. So what's his answer? When they went out, they were good. But being in Israel, messed them up. That's the Chor Pshat, Rashi. So Rashi comes to ask two questions. What's lecha and what's anashim? Exactly the questions that we opened up with. Lecha, he says, the answer is it's for you, not for me. I don't need it. But if you send it, it'll be problematic. And then we'll come to the Ramban in a moment. And the second thing he says is anashim means good. They were good people. They weren't bad people. They didn't go with an intention to be bad. Ah, if they're good, how come they messed up? Answer is when they went out, they were good. Afterwards, they messed up. Okay. Says the Ramban, that some of you may have read already. Don't go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Ramban says, how is that possible? V'yesh kan lish'ol, im kein Moshe atzmo chata, b'yan sh'nema v'yitav b'enei hadavar, v'lama amar lehem b'inyan ha'aretz ha'tova, hi imra'a. If that's the case, says the Ramban, that Moshe initiated sending out the spies, then Moshe sinned. Who do we say? Who's the sinners of Tisha B'Av? The Meraglim. Says the Ramban, no. It's Moshe. Moshe is exactly the same, makes exactly the same amount of blame as the spies. Why? As is stated, and I approved of the matter. And why did he say about the lamb if it's good or bad? If it knows that it's good, why does he say to them, go and check out if it's good or bad? It's good. If the whole point is to know where we're going up from, why'd ask them, is it good or bad? So says Ramban that if that's the case, Moshe messed up as much. Achal shenema lo mitchila shi tova v'chava. V'od ma'asu meraglim, ki Moshe amar lehem, ura'item et ha'aretz ma'hi, v'et ha'am ha'yoshev aleha, ha'chazak hu ha'rafe, ha'ma'at hu imrav, v'amar lehem ba'arim, ha'bemechanim, imifzarim, v'al kol panim ha'yu tzachim la'shivo, al ma'a sh'tziva oto, u'ma pish'am, u'ma tachat ha'am, k'she'amu lo, efes, ki az ha'am, v'arim b'tzurot gedolot. Says the Ramban, I don't understand. If Moshe sent them, what did the spies do bad? Or if Moshe sends them to find out if it's good or bad, what did they come back and say? And they come back and say, there's a lot of people there. The people there are very strong. So says the Ramban, they were obliged to answer him what he ordered them. So what's their crime when they said, alas, the people is fierce, and the cities are fortified and big? He didn't send him in to lie. He didn't say, go in and say, come back and say it's good. Doesn't matter what happens. Just come back and say, oh, it's wonderful. Come back and tell the truth. That's what they want to know. So why do we say that the spies is the beginning of Tisha B'Av or Tziu Dibah and terrible things? The spies did exactly what they were told to do. They were sent in to be to good or bad. What? Velonuchal. Ah, okay, we're going to come to that in a moment. But the report seems to be, we always don't say that they say we weren't able. We always say, Otsiu dibah. They said bad, says the Ramban, but they didn't say bad. They told what they were supposed to tell. So you're telling me the answer was they interpreted that, and therefore we won't be able to. But that's a later idea. That's not you. We don't usually say the spies, the problem with the spies is they weaken the people, in which case you'd be right. But we say they otsiu dibah ta'aretz, but they told the truth, says the Ramban. They were sent in to say, is it good or bad? They came and said, the people are fierce, bad. It's going to be really tough. Says the Ramban, so what's their sin? Why the spies like the arch villains of Tisha B'Av? They didn't do anything wrong in Masubidi, what they were supposed to do, says the Ramban. And the Moshe himself seems to be involved. Oh, what do you tell? All right. V'chi al manat she'idu lo sheker shelachotam v'al yashov ki haya pisham ba'umam eretz ochelet yoshveah בלבד, כי תם שהם יהיו להם כן, היה מריבה אחינו, הם עשו את לבבינו למו עם גדול ורב ממנו, ובכאן כתיב לנפול בחרב כלב מהם, וכן כתוב נשינו וטפינו וכולי. Says the Ramban. So what do you say the problem is? Okay. Let's see what he wants second. Don't think the crime was saying a land that consumed its dwellers. Like a little bit like you say, lo nuchallo. But even if they said that, the quarrel of Caleb was with them took place. As it is stated, our brethren have melted our hearts, saying, a people do great and die for us. And here it is stated, to fool by the sword, our men and little women will be taken captive. So they said, we're not going to be able to. It's an interpretation. But says the Ramban, but they already before that already said, we're going to fall. We're going to be killed. We're going to be slaughtered. But even Moshe, our master, said to their descendants similar things and exaggerated to tell them about the strength of the people and the fortifications of their cities and the power of the giants. Much further than the spies told the forefathers. As it stated, listen, O Israel. We're going to read it in 2 weeks' time. You're crossing today the Jordan to enter and inherit nations greater and more powerful than you. Moshe says exactly the same thing. The land you're going into, the people are strong, the cities are fortified. It's going to be bad. A nation great and high, descendants of giants are who you know and have heard. Who can stand up before you? Before descendants of giants. Now, if the crime of the spies, says the Ramban, and their sin was in this matter, who would have dissuaded their descendants if the spies had dissuaded their forefathers? Furthermore, what was the reason of Moses, our master, in this mission? Land is good and weak. So he says the answer is the following. Says the Ramban, what Moshe wanted to know was something strategic. The question about who do you trust? He didn't want them to come and say, is it good or bad? He wanted to know, how are we going to overcome that land? It's a word that we learned already in Cheder. We already learned it. That's the Ramban. The Ramban says the problem, the question that Moshe had was not, is it a good or bad land? That's heresy. The question is, I know it's a good land, but how are we going to get in? They'll be strategic. What's the problem with that? Just a simple... What? It's definitely not the pshat. Okay, I'm with you. What else? There's a problem. There's a somewhat strategic problem in sending people... Yeah? Yes? So whatever they went, they would be okay, you're saying. You say, Marcel, yeah? What? If Shem was with them, they wouldn't need it. I have a different question. Yes? Oh, these are the people you send. They're Anashim, but they had no military strategy. Okay, you guys are going to go, and just, I cry 12 people here, and you're going to go and see, you know, what's going on. They're going to give me intelligence in Gaza. You'd say, I don't know, Rabbi Weitzman, I don't think we're really so qualified for that job, like we never win the army. I don't know. So they don't say anything. They go in and they come back and say, I don't think so. And the report that they come back is definitely nothing about strategy. It's just saying they're strong. Yeah.
Right. They're okay. Unless we say, like you say, these two gentlemen said, that it's interpretation. They didn't come back and say, oh, we're going to go from there. They said, we're not going to be able to do it. Right. Right. Yeah, that's a problem. Yes. And Caleb seems to later on go and fight the battle of Midian. So they seem to know what they're talking about. Maybe they're the ones that came back and gave the good report, the ones that actually knew. Shalom. So the Ramban comes to answer a problem. The problem that Ramban is, let's understand, not the Pasukim, that's your problem. That's Rashi. Let's understand what's going on. Why does Moshe send spies to begin with? We know that the spies are going to be disastrous. We read it in this week's parasha, in Parashat Devarim that we read on Shabbat. We know that the way Moshe interprets it and presents it, we know it's going to be a disaster. Why does he do it? Why does he do it? So what does Rambam say? Military strategy. But it was a failure, and it was doomed to failure. It was a tragedy. So let's look at a different interpretation. Yeah. That he doesn't think, they might actually think that it's not the case. Wow. 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 Yeah. Oh, it's also a question. Yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute. In the, yeah, Yeshua, in the Haftarah of Shlach Lecha Torah. All right, let's look in. So let's go into the next psukim. Let's see exactly what Moshe told them to do, and maybe we'll have a little bit of an answer to Rashi and the Ramban, and then we'll understand a little bit about what it is we're sitting on the floor today, or we're fasting, or whatever. What's it about? All right. Vayishlach anash otam. Now, at the bottom of the second sheet, the Nekud, which is the Psukim. No, this is now, Ramban goes on what's before. This is now the Psukim. When there's a Kotet, it's what was before. The footnotes, not headnotes. Vayishlach otam Moshe, latu et Eretz Kanan, vayom elehem aluze benegev alitem et ahav. Moshe sent them to scout the land. He said to them, go up into the Negev, and onto the hill, and see what country it is. Ureitem et aretz, mahi, betam yoshev aleha, chazak hu arafe, ma'atu im rav. Are the people who dwell in it strong or weak, few or many? Uma aretz asher yoshev ba, tovahi im ra'a. And the country, is it good or bad? Is it lush? Is it dry? Is it arid? What's it like? We've spoken about that before, a few years ago. And the towns that they live in, are they open or are they fortified? Is the land itself rich, poor? Is it wooded? And be strong and take from the fruit of the land. And it was the season of the first ripe grapes. Yes. Oh, I think a lot of those questions fit the strategy stories. Not all of them. But it seems unless you say, where are we going to attack? And where are we going to get in? I guess where the land is lush, it's more likely to have people living there. The land is arid, less likely to have people living there. Maybe. Populated. So it's a question. So I'm gonna ignore that. All those questions. I want to go to the last pasuk that we just read. What's problematic in the last pasuk? There are two words, or there are two pieces of information that I think are problematic. What are they? What is the word that's superfluous here, or doesn't make sense? Right, season of ripe grapes. Why do we need to know that? Why do we know that it's a season of the grapes? Remember Rashi says that? We'll see Rashi in a moment. What else? What other word there is superfluous in the pasuk, or doesn't, or it could be explained different ways? It chazaktem. What does it mean, be strong? I.e., what do we think? That without that, they would not be strong. The other question is, why does it say be strong now? Why not be strong at the beginning? So that last pasuk, there are two pieces of information which are interesting. But that's what we're going to spend the next half an hour or so looking at.
What does it mean, be strong? And what does it mean, what is the significance of the season of the year? It's the beginning of the grape harvest. When was the grape harvest? We got great grapes now. So when did the harvest start? I guess about 40 days ago. So 40 days, when they first came in, it was the season of the grape. And it ended when they left 40 days later, was Tisha B'Av. So 40 days. Excellent. Got to be strong. So we're going to see someone says like that. We've got a lot of mafreshim that every possible interpretation is going to be covered. But you're right, 100%. So before we get into interpretation, 1 second. Let's see the next psukim of what they actually did. Okay? When they came back. And then I'm going to let you have some fun. You can look at some mafreshim together. And then we'll reconvene. Okay. So let's look at the next, what happens. Vayashuvu mito aretz. And they returned from scouting the land. Beketz arbim yom, at the end of 40 days. 40 days afterwards. Vayelchu v'yavo el Moshe v'el Aaron v'el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. And they went straight to Moshe and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. El Midbar Kadesh, into the Kadesh desert. Midbar Paran Kadesh, sorry, into Kadesh in the west desert of Paran. And they made their report to the whole community and they showed them the fruit of the land. Here's the fruit. Yosef to bring fruit. Here it is. Here it is. Vayisapulo vayomru banu el aretz asher shelachtanu vegam zavat chalav udavashi veze piriya. And they said, we came to land you send us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. It's a lush, pleasant land. It grows incredible fruit. It has tremendous range of topography. And we don't have to tell you. You're living in Medinat Yisrael. We know what it's like. Ephes. Ephes is not a good word. Ephes. Nothing. Zero. However. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz ve'arim betzurot gedolot me'od ve'gam yiladei anak ra'inu sham. However, the people inherited the land are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. Not only that, we also saw the Anakites, the Anakim, the giants. But beyond that, Amalek Yoshev Ba'aretz, Anegev, Achiti, Vayivusi, Vayimuri, Yoshev Bahar, Vaknani, Yoshev Alayam, Balayam Yadarin. The Amaleki live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Yevusite, the Amori, the Kanaani. It's full of all of these peoples that we're going to have to fight. And they mention Amalek, and though it's not actually clear that historically Amalek actually dwelt in a Negev, Amalek was a nomadic land. Was a nomadic people. Why do they mention Amalek? Rashi always says from the Midrash, because they know Amalek. Amalek attacked them 2 months earlier, at the beginning of the 40 years, before they even go anywhere. So they know Amalek. They've got a bad taste in their mouth still from Amalek. So what are they saying? They're not just choosing a group of people who happen to live there, but they're choosing the people that they know the people will be disheartened. And we will not be strong. And then they say, "Vayahas Kalev et ha'am el Moshe v'yom elan alech v'yashrashnu to kinuchal nuchalo." And Kalev hushed the people and said, "No, we're going to go. We'll overcome it." V'anashim ha'shealu imo amu lo nuchal la'alot el ha'am ki chazaku meni. We won't be able to. But the people with them said, "We won't be able to attack them. They're stronger than us." ויוציאו דיבת הארץ אשר תאו אותה אל בני ישראל למו ארץ שעברנו בה לתור אותה ארץ אוכלת יושביה היא וכל העם אשר ראינו בתוכה אנשי מידות ושם ראינו את הנפילים בני ענק מן הנפילים ונהי בינינו כחגבים וכן היינו בעינינו. They spread calumnies about the Israelites, about land. They told it was going to be bad, saying, "The country that we traversed and scouted is one that devours its settlers. All the people we live there are great in size. We saw the Nephilim, the Anakim. We were grasshoppers to us, and we must have looked like that to them. What do you say? What does it mean? So Rashi says, the Chazal say, that a lot of people were being buried. So they think there's a lot of burials here. There's like, you know, you go to Batei Kvarot in Israel, there's a lot of people being buried. So you think everybody's dying here. Maybe they also lied. It's also possible. It wasn't Ochelet Yashver. The people there were great. If you look at it, actually, there's an internal contradiction in the verse. What's the internal contradiction? If the land consumes its inhabitants, how come the people there are so big? You can't get big by being consumed. So they missed. Maybe you're right. Maybe they just lied and they missed it out. Maybe you're lying. It's not so good. All right. That's what happened. It doesn't sound like they were very strong. It doesn't sound like Veit Chazaktem. But they did bring the fruit. We got to give them credit where credit is due. They brought the fruit as they were told. And they said their report. And if we go with the Ramban, that they wanted to say, well, you know, give us the truth. They told the truth as they saw it. So what's the problem? So we're going to spend a few minutes looking at some mefarshim of the word ve'it chazaktem, and the other possible question, how is that related to the grape harvest season or the grape ripening season? Is there a relationship between those two things? Okay, so take a couple of minutes and look it out. We're going to start with the Rashbam, then you have the Chizkuni. Well, you have Chizkuni and then the Kli Yakar. Three mefarshim. It's on this page. The Rashbam, the Chizkuni, and then the Kli Yakar. Yes, Raymond. Say it again. That's a good question. Yeah, fair. He felt that there was a beginning. He felt there was a beginning of undercurrent. Good question. Maybe he felt, I'm saying it was an under, he felt where it was going. All right. Okay. How are we doing? Okay, so you saw hopefully most of the three Mefarshim, Rashbam, Chizkuni, and the Kli Yakar. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, who's the Pashtan of the Torah. You want a real Pashtan, a real simple Pshat? That's the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Ve'it chazaktem, be strong, ke'anashim giburim lakachat. What will your strength be expressed in what? In taking. Why is that important in taking? V'lo tagu mipnei ish, don't be afraid of anybody. Why would they be afraid? What? It feels well. That's, we're going to get to the Chizkuni. It doesn't say why. I have another answer I'm going to come back to in a moment. So the reason, the connection to be strong is be strong to take. So that makes it connects us to the grapes. So there's a connection between being strong and the grapes. The being strong is take from the grapes. And therefore it's important that they're grapes. Yes. Oh, maybe that's why they were frightened. It's not theirs. Says the Chizkuni, another one, the Rishonim, V'itchazaktem hayu tzrichim chizuk, they needed strength, lefi sheyamim yamei bikurim, because it was the days of the grape harvest, as someone said before, v'ashomrim mitzuyim shama. When do you most heavily guard your field? When the fruit is the ripest and you haven't yet gathered it in. You may be kore anavim. When the fruit's unripe, you don't have to guard it. No one's going to take it. But when the fruit is ripe, it's the summer months and you haven't yet gathered in because you're waiting for it to grow, that's when it's the most vulnerable and therefore it would be the most heavily guarded. And therefore, it chazaktem. Why is that related to the time of the year? Because that's a time that it would be the most crazy, the most nonsensical, the most dangerous to take fruit. Right? Right, so why do they need it? Machal Tovus. Let's leave the fruit and it'll be good. We're going to come to that. The Kli Yakar, I hope you saw the beginning of the Kli Yakar. Isn't that beautiful? Says the Kli Yakar, we're going to go back to the word Anashim, which we translate as being important people. How does the Kli Yakar translate it? Males. The problem is men. Amar Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha, Yalkut Shimoni, Hanashim ayu sonim et haaretz. The men hated the land or weren't good in the land. They said, let us go back to Egypt. But the women, remember the daughters of Tzlofchad? The women wanted the land. They wanted to have a portion. And therefore, says God, in my opinion, you can do what you want. But if you ask my opinion, it's bad. I can see it's not good to send men. It would be better to send women who love the land. The kilo yisapu begnuta, they won't tell of the imperfections. Aval lech ledatcha shata savu shekshirim ema vata savu shehaaretz chaviva lehem tishlach anashim. But do you think that it's better to send men? You think that they won't mess up? Do what you want. So lech lecha, says the Kli Yakar, is you can follow your plan. My plan is better. My plan is to send women. Your plan is send men, Vakasha? I think it's going to mess up. Can you imagine if women had gone in and they'd have come back and said, this is great. This is just wonderful. So then Tisha B'Av would be Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's the day we go into Israel. And it would be Chag LeNashim. Can you imagine? Like if we'd have listened to, you sometimes you listen to God. You know what I mean? Amazing story. It's continuing the Kli Yakar because he goes to Chizaktem. Just nobody. He sent men. Nebuch. V'amar v'chazaktem ulekartem mipri ha'aretz lefi sheyemim yemei bikurei anavim v'abalim makpidim al lekicha u'mikol makom itchazku v'ayu l'anashim ki Hashem imachem. Says the Kli Yakar, he said that be strong and take the fruit because the time that the grape harvest, the owners are particular. Others shouldn't take it, and therefore be strong because God is with you. That's why they had to. Vitchasakem was a sort of a symbolic act of being strong. Why did he say, why take the fruit? Cheskem, take the fruit. He says it's also a bit of a Kabbalistic allusion. Ube midrash amru hefshilu eshkoloyotea anavim higia zmanam shel Yisrael liyot nigalim. But in the midrash, it says that Israel are compared to grapes, and the time has come for Israel to be redeemed. The time of the grape harvest means that Jewish people have reached their ripeness. They're ready. Al ze amar kan vayamim yemei bikur anavim egia zmanam likanes la'aretz ki kvar nitbaku v'nitbashlu v'nigmar kol shlemutam al yedei ha'Torah shekiblu. The time has come for Israel to be redeemed, and the time has come to enter the land. They've ripened and complete through receiving the Torah. They left Egypt. They received the Torah. They're ready. They're mivushalim. They're ripened. Go in and take the land. It's ready. Is that what? That's the text tells us. The Torah tells us. That's how the Midrash learns it out. It's a Midrash. It's a Kabbalistic understanding. It's not a pshat of the pasuk. That was Moshe. Moshe said to them, be strong. But it was the time of the grape harvest, is the text telling us. So it's a midrash, you know, we can learn the verse in two ways. Okay, yes. Because we know that the men wanted to go back and the women said, no, gimme. Okay, so the Zohar has a whole thing. Okay, that's Zotchne. All right. Let's look together at Rav Hirsch. Rav Shimsh. They're pretty strong. So that's Rashi. That's what Rashi says. To be strong because they were the time of the grape harvest, the grapes are a little bit unusual size. We don't have it in sight. And therefore, they were unusual size. It would be strong to, you have to be strong to carry them. It's a, physically strong. Yeah. All right. Let's look at Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says the following. Rav Hirsch on the Torah, Moshe atzmo amar sham v'itav ben adavah. Moshe himself said, and it's good in my eyes. Why? Shekein miyadim knizatam la'aretz ha-muftachat, nistayma ha-anaga ha-nisit shel Hashem. Umikan ve'eleh chayav ha'am lishtatef v'maasav b'itzuv goralo. Says the Rav Hirsch, sending in the spies is not just stam. It's not just, well, we have nothing to do, let's send them in, or let's make sure how we go in, or let's encourage the people, it's a good place. Says Rav Hirsch, no. The sending in the spies is because there is a shift in the mentality and the task of the people. But they're going in, they're Bekadesh Barnea, they're going into Israel, and we want to see, Nifla, we're going to come back to your point in a moment, whether they're ready. But that's what should have happened. You're 100% correct. Moses said, it was good in my sense, immediately on entering the promised land, the divine miraculous leadership finished. And from then on, the people have to participate and form their own fate. What happens when they enter the land of Israel? There's no more man. There's no more manna from heaven. Why? They have to go and work the land. Agav, that's what the Zohar said. You could mention. The Zohar said they didn't like that. They didn't want to go in and work. It's much easier to get food spoon-fed than actually have to work for your food. Uma ha'aretz, and what is the land? Hu yoshev ba. Zo sheila al tiva aretz ka'admat Adam. Why suddenly now, if they're going to have human, non-miraculous leadership, do they have to ask, what's the land like? You said, what do they care? What's the land itself like? He explains. The question about the quality of the land as a human place. We're not going to get man anymore. We're going to have to fend for ourselves. Is this a land that grows food? Is this a land that we could sustain ourselves as human beings? Tell us about this land. We're suddenly changing our whole attitude, or we're trying to, exactly your point. Le'el ne'emar v'ta'ama yoshev aleha. Previously it said, and the people who dwell there, nimsa shudan ba'am belo keshel aretz, that he looked at the people regardless of the land. And he asked, how do people live and develop their land? But here, ne'emahu ma'aretz, and the land itself, ayoshev ba. Nimsa shudan b'uchlusiyah shebetoch ha'aretz, regarding the population within the land. How did the land influence the people and form their character? How is this land a platform for national development? Not only do we want to know, are we going to get food? But the people in this land, what are they like? Before, you say it twice, he says, what is the land, what are the people like? You look back in the verses, you'll see. Says Rav Hirsch, why? The first time we want to know, what are the people like? How do they work the land? The second, what is their culture like? What has this land done for them? We're going to go in. If we were under God's presence totally, it doesn't matter where we live. We could be in the wilderness. But if we're going to now move into a more human, practical, physical development, we need a land that's conducive for a spiritual people. Are these people anakim or are they chagavim? Are they giants? Or are they little grasshoppers? What are they like? How does the land influence them? Hatova hi im ra'ah mibechina zo. Is it good or bad in this level? What does it mean? I mean, mekademet u'ma'akevet u'ma'akevet et chayei ha'tarbut aruchanim v'musirim shel ha'am. Does it advance or hinder the nation's cultural life, spiritual life, ethical life, How are the people influenced by this land? Every land has an influence on the people living there. So are these people developed culturally, ethically, spiritually, or are they just chagavim?
Hareyu, hareini, maskirim et ma'amar chazal sha'alimad mitoch anisayon, avira de eretz Yisrael machkim.
And we can mention the sages saying that was derived from experience. They lived there and knew the air of the land of Israel makes one wise. Eretz Yisrael machkim. What does that mean? Is it really true? Everybody here so smart? I hear you look pretty smart crowd. I think you do. Okay. What does it mean? So Rav Hirsch means what it means is that this is a land that grows wisdom. This is a land that is conducive for cultural development. Baruch Hashem, look at the land of Israel. Look at the people of Israel and the land of Israel. Amazing thing. I mean, look how developed we are culturally, spiritually, ethically. Are we there? Are we 100% finished? No. But isn't it amazing? So that's a good question, because maybe it's also dependent on the people themselves. But he wants to get a taste. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim doesn't only mean for Jews. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim means, I guess, everybody that lives here becomes smart. That seems the pshat of Chazal. Yes. But maybe comparative to other people, they were more moral. The most immoral nation in the world at that time was Egypt. So they came from the most immoral to somewhere that was less immoral. Maybe they were better? That's a good question. So Rav Hirsch says, you're right, but they needed to get into a physical, human, normative way of behavior. They needed to know that. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. As a Jewish complaint, right?
Foreigners don't.
They don't do as well. But it's a little bit of an example. If the peoples that were here succeeded, it's a little bit of an example. Oh, if they did okay, we'd maybe do better. Maybe. I hope so. So he says, Rav Hirsch, that the whole point of the spies is a shift in the nature of the nation. That we're moving from spiritual divine leadership to human, physical, normative leadership. And at this point it's starting. The going into the spies wasn't just going in and coming back, as he said before, but it was the idea of the shift that they were going to make in themselves. And therefore, says Rav Hirsch, what does it mean, v'itchazaktem? Be strong. Hisku v'imsu lakachet et haperot begalui. Be strong and brave to take the fruit publicly. Af al pi shetachlit shirotam titgaleh lidei kach la'ein kol. Even though the point of the spying trip would then be compromised. Everybody would see their spies. What did he say? Go in, be quiet. Someone said before about the spies in Yeshua later. They went in quietly. Here he says go in quietly. But then at some critical point, go to a major city and take grapes to show what? We're balabayit. It's our land. It's going to be our land. And we're going to do that physically, not because God is going to fight for us. We are going to do it for ourselves. V'itchazaktem means you have to get up and say, okay, we're here.
V'hayamim yemei bikurei anavim, says Rav Hirsch, בימי הבצע היה אפשר לתלות את לחיטת הפירות בכוונה אחרת. אך בימים מהם יהיו מקורי ענבים עדיין לא הגיעו אל הבצע.
Says Rav Hirsch, you've got to be מדייק. מקורי ענבים does not mean the time of the grape harvest, but the time of the development of the grape. Says Rav Hirsch, if it was a season of the grapes ripening, if the grapes were ripe, then what would we say? You're taking them because you want to eat. But if they were taking grapes at a time when they were not yet edible, they were just ripening, why were they taking them? They're not going to eat them because they're inedible at that point. They're taking them to make a statement. They're saying, we've come home. It's our land. This is the land that God promised us. We're going to go in and take it.
But during the time of ripening, the time for harvest had not yet arrived. They would only be taking it to make a point.
That's what Rav says. That's what Chazaktem, and it's Yemei Bikurei Anavim, not Yemei Avshalat Bikur Anavim. The Anavim are not yet ready, and therefore they're taking them to say, it's like putting the flag on the moon. It's a statement. We're here. Ananda Babayit. We're home. Yeah. Obviously, Rav Hirsch thought differently. So what did he do? So did he bring the grapes or not? They brought the grapes. So they did that. Let's look exactly. Let's be mid-day. The Rav Hirsch doesn't make this point, but I think it's the pshat. If we now read his understanding, the pshat of the psukim, let's read it together. The next set of psukim, when they came back, when they actually take the grapes.
Vaya'alu vaya'tuvu et ha'aretz mimibar tzin ad rechov lavo chamat. Vaya'alu benegev. Vaya'vod chavron. ושם אחימן ששי תלמה ילידי ענק וחברון שבע שנים נבנתה לפני צעון מצרים. And they went up and scouted the land from the wilderness of Sinter Rehov at Levo Hamat. They went to the Negev, they came to Hebron. They were Achiman, Sheshai, Talmai, the giants. And Hebron was founded 7 years before Tzon of Egypt. It's a major, major city. Hebron later will be the seat of David's, beginning of David's monarchy. It's a major, major city. Hebron today is maybe not a major city in Israel. In the time of Tanakh, Hebron was one of the most major cities in Israel, much more than Yerushalayim, definitely the time now. It was basically the capital of Yehuda, was Hebron. So they come to Hebron, and now listen to the Pasukim. Let's read it carefully, very carefully now.
Vayavo ad Nachal Eshkol, vayichretu misham zemura ve'eshkol anavim echad ve'se'u bamot b'shnayim, ומן הרימונים ומן התנים, למקום ההוא קרא נחל אשכול, על עדות אשכול אשר כתוב משם בני ישראל.
And they went from there to the river of Eshkol. Eshkol means a bunch. And there they cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a carrying frame by the two of them, and some pomegranates and figs. Why was that place called Eshkol? And the place was named the river of Eshkol, because of the cluster, the eshkol, of the grapes the children of Israel cut down there. What is the Torah telling us? Why do we care? Why do we care? You understand what just happened? It's an amazing thing if we think about it. Yafeh. But think about it. Where should they have taken the grapes from to make a statement? Hebron. That would have made the greatest statement. Where did they take the grapes from? A place that has no name. How do I know it has no name? Because it's called later on the name according to what the Jews did. Before that, it was a meaningless place. Where did they go? They went to a quiet place. No one's there. There can't be any people there because they don't have a name. It's a nameless place. So they go to this nameless place, and it happened to be some grapes there. So they take some grapes, and they furtively take them and rush away. And we know, because the Torah tells us explicitly, it's called Eshkol al Shem Bnei Yisrael. They didn't name it that. Later on, when they came back, they said, oh, this was the place where we took the grapes from. And it's called Eshkol. Now we have Nachal Eshkol. It's an important Ezorit Eshkol. But the Torah is exact. They went to Hebron. They had the opportunity in Hebron to take the grapes and to make their statement and to be potentially put themselves in danger. And they balk and they go to Nachal Eshkol. They go to an unnamed place. What are we saying? They missed the opportunity of it chazaktem. The problem, says Rav Hirsch, if we understand the psukim, he doesn't say this, but it seems to be pshat psukim. The problem of Rav Hirsch is not that they otziu dibat haaretz. The problem was that they missed the opportunity to be strong. They balked. They had an opportunity to make a statement, and they missed it. How are they going to justify themselves when they come back? They have to say, oh no, it wasn't really so good. It wasn't, no, not worth seeing. Don't go in there. We'll wait. So that was all of the Otzad Dibat Ha'aretz is only as a result of them missing the opportunity of it chazaktem. That's how Rav Hirsch explains it. They could have been strong. They missed it. They could have made a statement and said, we've come home. They missed it.
They could have got up and said, "We are here to stay." And they missed it. They took from Nachal Eshkol. And they come back to Moses and say, "Look, here are the grapes that you wanted." And he realizes that they missed the point. That that's not what he wanted. And that, I would say, is the pshat of the word lecha. Send for you, not for me, that you should know that you're back home. That if Rav Hirsch is right and says that here is the beginning of a practical, normative, human hanagat, human leadership, don't do it for me anymore. Do it for you. One second. Where else do we find lecha? Avraham, the same thing. Avraham has to do it himself. He's going to create a new reality in the world. Lecha means do it for you, that you should realize what is it you're doing, not that I realize what's going on. You have to do it. That's shlach lecha anashim. Send your best people, that they'll be able to stand up and say, "We're home." Yes? So Rav Hirsch, I think what he means is after 40 days, they would feel confident enough to put their head up. They don't have to fight. They're not making a claim. They're just going to take the grapes and say, it's putting a flag on the moon. I made a statement. So he doesn't say they have to fight. He doesn't say it's a suicide mission. They're 40 days there. They're confident. What's their problem? Go back to the verses. How do they describe themselves? Grasshoppers we were in our eyes, and that's how we were in. What do we miss? What's the pshat now? Vit chazaktem. We weren't strong. We thought we weren't really worthy. That's how the Zohar explains. The Zohar explains that they said that we weren't worthy of going to the land of Israel and having to work. We have to be under divine spoon fed, because that's easier. That's easier to fathom, but it's harder to actually go and work for a living. Anybody who works for a living here will know it's kind of hard. If you don't work for a living, then great. But if you do, you know it's kind of hard. Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's why it failed. Right. Maybe. But maybe that was an opportunity. You're fair, Maud? You're fair. You want to say something? Yeah.
How does that connect to their love or lack of love of the land? They may have loved the land, but maybe they liked not having to do anything.
Right. The Zohar doesn't say they lacked the land. We saw that in the Yelkut Shmoni. The Zohar didn't say they didn't love the land, like we saw, but that they didn't think they were worthy. They didn't think that they could get to that level of having to actually fend for themselves. They prefer to be like kids, you know, being spoon-fed. It's like leaving home. No, you have teenagers. I have some of mine here. You know, they're leaving home. Like, get out. You know, go and work. No, it's better to be at home. It's easier, right? Yeah. No, they stay, guys. Okay, it's fine. We love them. Yeah, go on. Boom. So that's a good question. The answer is that we didn't get crushed at Har Sinai. And we did get the land. We're both here, right?
Yes, we just have to work way hard for it.
So maybe the answer is that we get an inkling at the beginning of what it could be, and now we have to work for it. Like Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, why does he go to Gan Eden? He's going to be thrown out, said his ending, he's set up for failure. Because maybe again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you an inkling, you'll see what it could be. Okay, now you have to get back to it. What?
We're heavily punished for it.
Well, we are challenged more than punished. Let's call it challenged. It's a nicer word, no? It's a more open word. I got that. We challenged, yes.
How did the spies know that they were supposed to get the grapes?
That's what Rav Hirsch said. He actually chizaktem means. Go and put up your head.
But Moshe just said to them, don't get grapes.
Yeah, but you have to read, you know. That's why the Mefarshim come to fill us in what actually happened. I want to quickly go through one of the most famous agadot of the Churban. We've learned it here together more than once. Kamsa bar Kamsa. I'm not even going to read the beginning because you all know the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. I want to go to the end. The end of the story, remember the story of bar Kamsa. Kamsa bar Kamsa. Kamsa is the friend and bar Kamsa is the enemy. And they're invited to a party and they invite the wrong guy. Anyway, in the end, the guy who's been slighted goes to the emperor and says, you know, the Jews are rebelling against you, and if you send them a korban, they won't accept it. So he says to him, send them a choice animal. We're on the, in the English, the bottom line of the English on this page. The pages are not numbered, but this page. And in the Hebrew, about sort of halfway through the, it's not Hebrew, it's Aramaic, so you're okay. Halfway through the Aramaic. Adas shadar b'yadei egla tilta b'hari deka'ati shada b'mume b'niv svatayim v'amrele b'dukim sheba'ayin duchta de ledidan have mume ledidei lo have mume. And he sent them an offering. So we're a few lines up from the bottom. Sent them an offering, and he sent them a fine calf. And while on the way, he made a blemish on his upper lip, or on its, some say, in the white of his eye, a place which we count as a blemish, but they do not. They means the non-Jews. And what happened? So it comes. They bring it to the Bet HaMikdash, and they got this korban, this sacrifice, with a mum, with a blemish. Savor aban ale kurvei mishum shalom molchut. The rabbi said we should offer it in order not to offend the government, the Caesar. Amalahu Rabbi Zachariah ben Afkilus yachlu ba'alei mumim krevim. Yomru ba'alei mumim krevim legabei mizmech. But Zachariah ben Afkilus said, people say the blemished animals are offered on the altar. What do we do? So they said, okay, lemiktele. Delozal v'leimei, let's kill the guy who sent it so they won't go and inform on us. Said Rav Zachariah ben Afkilus, Yamru metil b'mum b'kodeshim yareg. They'll say that whoever puts a blemish in a consecrated animal is put to death. So he didn't know. Should we do this? Should we do this? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, an v'tanuto shel Rabbi Zachariah ben Afkilus ichriv et beitenu v'zafar lechlenu beglenu lemeartzeinu. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the humility or the over-humility of Zechariah ben Afkilus destroyed our house, burnt our sanctuary, and exiled us from our land. That's pretty serious. All he did is he had a halachic question. Should we offer the sacrifice or not offer the sacrifice? What does Rabbi Yochanan mean? And he blames him on three very serious crimes. Destroying the temple, burning Yerushalayim, and exiling us from the land. What's the problem? Zechariah ben Afkilus misses out again v'itchazaktem, of making a stand, of being correct, of believing in yourself that what you say is true, and we will see it through to its logical conclusion. And that, if you don't understand that, you get exiled from the land. Exactly the same thing has happened to the spies. The problem with the spies was only that they said bad things about Israel. It's that they didn't feel here Ba'alei Abayit. They didn't feel here that it was theirs. They didn't feel here that they were home. They didn't feel a place that belonged to the Jewish people. And therefore, they're exiled. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the same thing happened to Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilus. At the point in which he feels, I don't know, he's the one that causes the exile. It's a terrible thing. Yeah. Pretty serious, right? Correct. That's correct. You're being the one. Okay. But that's at least a discussion. Yeah. Right. He wasn't. He said, well, we should accept it. We don't know. We don't know. Right. Well, in the end, they didn't know what to do. I guess it's still somewhere hanging around that korban. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with it. No. He didn't really. It's not what it says. That's not what the Gemara says. Maybe, yeah. Bring us. That's like goes back to the Kli Yakar's Midrash a little bit, that we're ready to bring it. You fair? Yes. Who got them out of Egypt? Sure. They got them out. Says Bezchut Sadik Nashim Sadkaniot Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim. So Rav Kook has a path. You don't think you're going to get here? Not going to get some Rav Kook, right? So Rav Kook has a passage in. Some of the people that studied with me this past year in the continuing education of study, we studied this together. Rav Kook has a passage that speaks about this, but on a personal level. It speaks about Chazaktem not as a nation. We spoke about that, but on a personal level. Let's take a few minutes out to read that, and then we'll learn it together, and we'll close. Appears in Orot HaKodesh, which is Rav Kook's philosophy of spirituality. It's edited by the Nazir, Rav Kook's major student, who gave it a title, Kriya Listakut Elyona, looking for the higher purpose, the elevated view. And Rav Kook speaks about how we have to believe in ourselves, how we have to believe that we can get beyond our two-dimensional physical reality, and we can get to a spiritual reality that will be Bit Chazaktem, our personal one. I want to spend a moment on the last line. About 8 years ago, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there were 8 boys who were murdered in Merkaz Arav. In honor of those boys, a year ago, the yeshiva, Yeshivat Tzirim, got together with the singer Benny Landau, and they took these words and they composed them, and they sang it together. So as we learn them, we're going to sing this, we're going to hear this song together, as we learn these words together and understand the power of these words. Ale, lemala ale. Go up high, go ascend. Ki koch oz lecha, because you have a great strength. Yesh lecha kanfei ruach. You have wings of spirit. Kanfei nesharim abirim. Great eagle's wings. But al tikachesh bam. Don't deny them. Lest they deny you. Doroshotam vimsechula hamiyad. Demand them and they will immediately find you. Our call is vidchazaktem. Believe in yourselves. Believe that you have the power to change your reality from being run by miracles to being under the power of others, that you can determine your own fate. The difference between exile and redemption isn't only in reality. It's in a consciousness. It's how do we look at ourselves. The whole time that we look at ourselves as hagavim, that we look at ourselves as being unable to, we're not going anywhere. Rav Kook says, when you realize that you have these amazing wings that can carry you high, there's no stopping us. Go back to the spies. Through the destruction of the temple, through all the kinot that we read today, the cry is again going back to Moshe's cry, Vidchazaktem. Believe in yourselves. When you believe in yourselves, when you're able to overcome the physical two-dimensional reality, then next year we're going to meet, not here. We're going to meet in Beit HaMikdash. Everybody's going to come with their eagle's wings. And we're going to fly together to a different reality that we believe in ourselves. Bit chazaktem, no koach azlecha,
יש לך כנפי רוח, בשורות טובות.
This is a production of the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit elmad.pardes.org.